So starting back in verse 27, it says, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?'" So we're seeing something. Remember, the disciples went to go get meat. They went to actually go get food because Jesus is wearied. He's resting at a well, and he's on his way to Galilee, but he had to make a pit stop in Samaria. But Jesus, knowing Jesus, he's a busy servant. He's always at work for the gospel. And he's trying to show us this. How is he doing this? Even when he's trying to rest, because he is also the Son of Man, okay? Jesus is the Son of God, but he also came in the form of a man so that he can experience life the way you experience life. The only difference between you and him is that he's the spotless, sinless Son of God. So in order for that to happen, we are going to see his humanity. He's wearied, but he's talking. And when he's engaging with this woman who nobody wants to deal with, he's talking to them. He's asking her questions. She's asking him questions. But in all the while, he's getting to the heart of the matter with her heart. And here's the results of what happens. So we talked about how salvation happens, and she must acknowledge Jesus as the one true Messiah and Savior. Now watch what happens. The woman, so the disciples come back and they see Jesus and they see this woman, and they didn't even question. Read this closely. It says, "And upon this came the disciples and marveled." They're marveled. That means they're just astounded. They're marveled that he talked with the woman. "Yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' or 'Why talkest thou with him, with her?'" Think about what's happening. Think about it this way. There's a homeless man on the street. He kind of, you know, he's got it rough. But do you ever think how many times, if you were to look at that man, and how many people pass those people? But Jesus doesn't pass those people. He's the only one out of that group. He sees the lame. He sees the blind. He sees the down and out. And he stops. He's the only one that stops. Every other religion, every other denomination of whatever you want to call it, they always have somebody that's always, you gotta do this, or someday you'll be better and you'll achieve this. But Jesus is the only one that says, you can't get out of that pit. I need to go and reach out to get you. He's the only one. He's the only one. That is true biblical Christianity. That's what he's doing to this woman. So why are they astounded? It's because they're looking through it in the eyes of man. Jesus sees a soul that needs to be saved. He's the great soul winner. What they see is Jesus, a Jew who's holy, right? He's this holy man that's walked the earth. He's rabbi. He's master. He knows the scriptures. But he's dealing with this down and out woman who's in sin. But that's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart that needs to be in us. The woman that left her water pot. So now she leaves her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. This is great. Come, she's telling. She goes to the town and she says, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." Now watch the difference between the disciples who are walking with Jesus and this woman who basically is now, she's receiving Jesus Christ as her Savior. Here's the difference. They're focused on, "Lord, you need to eat. You need to eat. You need to eat food. You need to eat food. You're going to pass out." But this lady, after what Jesus tells her that, "I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ," you know what the first thing she does? She goes and tells other people. She goes and tells other people. One, she's got a heart change. Something changed in her heart. Number two, she's giving her testimony of her engagement, of her personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound familiar? Here's the important note. I have this underlined if you want to take a note of this. After the woman believed on Christ, she led many others to Jesus. Let's go down to verse 39 real quick. Verse 39 in John chapter 4, and then we'll come back to it. Verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me that ever I did.'" So many people got saved, but how did they hear the good news? She went to tell them. She told them of all the things that I ever did, of this Christ that He told me of all the things that I ever did. She's giving her testimony. After the woman believed on Christ, she led many others to Jesus Christ. This is a good evidence of salvation. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? You're taking the seed out of the storehouse. This is what Jesus Christ did for me. This is what I encountered with Jesus Christ. This is my personal relationship. I can't contain it. I need to go out and tell others. Verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat. Now they ask him, sir, or they ask him, master, eat. You know, they're saying, please eat. You're going to be weary because he's tired. They've walked. There's no cars in this day. They probably don't have any animals to transport them. They're walking, okay, to Galilee. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? He's talking about spiritual meat. But God is good enough to say, well, what is this meat he's talking about? He gives it in the next verses. Therefore said the disciples one to another. Now watch their mindset. Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Still, he says, I have meat that you don't know of. And they ask, well, where's this meat? Did anybody else bring him meat so he can eat? And this is Jesus' response. Jesus saith unto him, in red letters, my meat, the food that is going to sustain me, is to do the will of him. Who's him? That's God the Father. That's his Father. God the Father, the will of him that sent me. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for your sins and my sins and for all mankind's sins and to finish his work. Why did Jesus come? To finish the work of the Father. What was it? The plan of salvation. He came to die. He came to die. He came to die on a cross. He rose again the third day. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. That's why he came, to pay for the sins of all mankind. Now watch this. Okay, he's talking about spiritual food. They're thinking carnally. What did Nicodemus in chapter 3, what was he thinking when he said, you must be born again? How can I be born again when I'm a grown man? How can I go back into my mother's womb? Nicodemus, that's not what I'm talking about. The meat that I'm talking about, the second birth that you need, everything is spiritual. Now watch the context. Everything is spiritual. Verse 24, back in John chapter 4, Jesus says himself, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's how you worship God, in spirit and in truth. So why can't my works get me to heaven? Because if you're placing your physical, fleshy works to save your soul, which is not fleshy or physical, you can't be saved. Jesus says, in order to be saved, you must be born again. He's telling them here, the meat is to do the will of the Father which sent me, to finish the work. What's the work? We're going to find that out. It's to do the will of the Father. Go to Luke chapter 2. And hold your place here, Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at a different gospel, but it's all painting a different picture of Jesus Christ. There's different accounts in the four gospels, but they're all painting one view, one side of Jesus Christ, so you can get a complete portrait of Jesus Christ and who he is. Luke chapter 2, verse 48. This is after Jesus he's a young boy, and he's in the temple. And remember, his parents, where is he? We lost our son, right? In verse 48, and this is after when they saw him, it says in verse 48, Luke chapter 2, it says, now watch, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Okay? He goes, son, what did you do? Did you ever run away from your parents and say, why did you do that? You know how that you're breaking my heart here. Why did you do that? And this is what Jesus says. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Joseph's not his father. Notice that. He's not talking about Joseph. He's not talking about he's the carpenter's son, but he's not talking about Joseph. What's his father's business? See, he's in the temple. Guess what that is? That's his father's house. So he says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, John 19. Now watch, fast forward to Jesus on the cross. This is what he says. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it into his mouth. And in verse 30 of John chapter 19, at the very end, when he's on the cross hanging, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said these famous three words, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, what are we looking at here? What are we looking at here? Jesus is focused on one mission and one mission only. He's trying to get the gospel out to as many people as he can while he's physically on this earth. But in the meantime, what he's doing, he's showing the way of salvation. He's trying to do the will of his Father. He's trying to do his Father's work. How do we know that? It's because when he's hanging on the cross, he says, all scripture has been fulfilled. What scripture? The Old Testament prophecy that has been foretelling of a Messiah, of a Christ, of a Savior that has come to die for whosoever. That's all mankind. He didn't just die for the Jews, that physical chosen people. He died for both Jew and Greek, right? Nor male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. You understand, he came to die for all mankind. So when he's telling them back in John chapter 4, turn back there, when he's telling them in John chapter 4, he says this. He says that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is Jesus Christ. This is the heart of him. And what he's trying to show us here is look, I understand we have lives, we have livelihoods, we have to make money, we have to provide, we have to put food on the table, we have to take care of things that are, I'm going to say carnal, but they're matters of this earth because we have to. God said it's good to work, it's good to do this, but here's the idea here, is that if our heart is not inclined to reach souls, we're not following the example of Jesus Christ. Is that to say that we starve ourselves and not eat? No, he's not trying to show that at all. He's trying to show that the spiritual sustenance, the spiritual food, the spiritual nourishment that Jesus received, he said, that is to do the will of the Father. That's how close. In John 10:30, he says, I and the Father are one. We can't completely understand that. They were so connected that you got to remember, Jesus Christ is only performing these miracles. He is the Son of God, but it's the Holy Spirit. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit, and it's the power of the Father to give him those miracles. You got to remember that it's not Jesus just exercising his own power. He's limiting himself. He's trying to live as a man, sinless, but he says, look, I understand what you guys are focused, but Jesus is teaching the disciples what the mission is. Guys, this is what I'm coming to do. It's to do the will of the Father, to finish that work. I'm trying to here to finish the work. And he's trying to teach them because you know who's going to be left on earth after Jesus ascends? It's the disciples. And you know what? Finally, in Acts chapter 2, they got it. You know how they got it? Because you wouldn't be sitting here in a Bible-believing Christian church. But see, that's the mission. Jesus knew. He goes, if I don't reach people, how are you going to reach people? How is this thing going to keep going? He knew it needed to keep going. Jesus Christ is showing us what it means to the powerfulness. The idea of witnessing is both good for the person receiving God's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also it's good for the Christian to testify. When you testify of Jesus Christ to people, it makes you feel better. It makes you, you're, Lord, this thing's real. This thing's alive in me. You quickened me. You changed my life. Now watch. Back in John chapter 4, I want to bring up something here about the harvest, the reaping, and the sowing. So in verse 35, it says this. He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months. Now watch, he says that he has to finish his work. Now watch the very next thing he starts talking about. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. The harvest is coming. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What is he talking about? Are they farming? No, folks. The harvest are the people who are searching for answers to the questions about life, about death, who are seeking something that they can't fulfill, who are ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are souls. The harvest is white. It's ready. It's ready to be reaped. We were sowing the seed. Now it's ready to be reaped. What is he trying to tell them? He goes, I witnessed to this woman at the well. She has gone to tell these people about what I just said to her. And you know what's happening? Jesus is teaching them about what he just did. And he says, folks, this is how we're supposed to be witnessing. This is how we're supposed to get the gospel out. This is how we're supposed to be telling about salvation, about Jesus Christ. Now watch what he says. He says, and he, verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, right? So if you reap, okay, if you're gathering that seed, you're receiving wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, one is spreading the seed, one is planting the seed, and another reapeth. When the seed grows in that field, in that harvest field, what happens? Somebody came along, had to plant the seed first and water it, right? And had to tend to it. But always, that same person may not be there to gather the harvest. It's the same thing with witnessing. I'm going to explain. You can preach the gospel every Sunday for the next 40 years as a pastor, and the people sitting in the pews may or may not be saved. There might be some people that don't know that they're saved, that they don't think they're saved. They're not sure. They think they're not sure. They're probably not. But here's the thing. For faithfully, that pastor comes up and he preaches the gospel every week, week in and week out. He's planting the seed. He's planting the seed. He's planting the seed. A little water here by the deacon. A little water here by some testimonies. A little here and there. The pastor goes away. The pastor maybe dies. Maybe the church is gone. Something happens. But then something happens along the way where that person or that people sitting in those pews that weren't saved, somebody comes along and says, here's what Jesus can do for you. And something clicks. Something happens. One person planted the seed. One person has sown that seed. And another reaped the harvest. Because then that person gives their life to Jesus Christ. They get saved. And you know what? If that pastor was alive, he would have been blessed. What I'm saying is that when that planting and that the sowing and the reaping happens, that's the way salvation works sometimes. We're not supposed to be in charge of who gets saved and who doesn't. That's not our job. You know what our job is? You plant the seed. You tell them. Take it out of the storehouse and spread that seed and tell them about what Jesus did. Because someday, coming along, somebody's going to come along and they're going to give them the gospel again and they might get saved. But at least they heard it again and they heard it again and they heard it again. And then one day something happens and there it is, the harvest. And they say, no, I repent, Lord. I trust you. And an angel rejoices in heaven when one comes to repentance of Jesus Christ. Now watch, this gets even cooler because here's what's happening. There are a lot of souls to be saved, but just like Jesus, we have to go out there and tell them. Just like the woman, see all that whole town that's there with all those people? She went to the town to tell them about Jesus, this Messiah. There's an endless amount of souls to reach. That's our job. That's what we are supposed to do. We are to be spiritual laborers. Right? We're physical laborers all the time. You don't have to teach us, right? Most of us work hard or have worked hard and now either retired or whatever, reaping those fruits, right, of your physical labor. But what about receiving the spiritual wages of your spiritual labor? We never seem to think about that is because, I'll put it simply, you live here for 70, 80, 90 years and you reap those physical rewards. But did you know that the more you do spiritually, the more spiritual labor you put in, you're going to get eternal rewards? So what's it to you for 90 years to be here to get a couple years of that when you have it in eternity? All God's asking you to do is He's asking you to sow. Maybe reap. Work that harvest. The harvest is plenty out there. Out there, I guarantee the average person confesses that they're a Christian and they're not, because they don't know what it means. Most people don't even know what a church is today. Jesus is a bad word to a lot of people. More people understand things like race theory and all this other political garbage, and they don't know who Jesus Christ is. The harvest is plenty. It's white. It's ready. 1 Corinthians 3:4 says this, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" He's talking about the divisions in the church. One person's, I like this preacher. No. I like this preacher. Well, what about Jesus Christ? I have planted, ready? This is what Paul's saying. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see what happens? Let's go back to John 30. He says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." The things you do for Jesus Christ, you will reap wages that are eternal, good wages that are eternal. But then he says this, that both he that soweth, the one that gave the gospel initially, and the one that came around again and witnessed to him again, and then he finally got saved, that person that you've been working on their heart and working on their heart, they finally got saved. You know what he says? He says, "And he that reapeth and he that soweth may rejoice together." You know why? Because God gets the glory. It's all because of him. So it doesn't matter. Everybody's looking for these rewards or recognition. It goes, we are to be co-laborers. It doesn't matter if you are the one spreading the seed or you're the one that's taking in the harvest. You got to go out to the harvest. The harvest is white. It's ready. It's ready. And Jesus is trying to tell this to the disciples who have been walking with Jesus, physically with Jesus Christ. Verse 37, he says this, "And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you," he's talking to the disciples, "I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Now watch what happens. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him." Four in the King James Bible is "because the saying of the woman which testified, he told me that I ever did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. They said, "Lord, we receive you. Stay with us. Please stay with us." And many more believed, ready? Because of his own word. What's his own word here, folks? Okay, they have the audible words of Jesus Christ that they are listening to, and they get saved. He's telling them everything. He's telling them, "I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ, repent," all those things. But here's the idea here. Well, we don't have Jesus physically next to us. Yeah, but you know what we do have? His word. It's no different from him speaking audibly. We have his word. There's no difference. Now, the disciples, when Jesus Christ left, when he ascended, he says, "I need to leave because I need to send the Holy Spirit." And he says, "I need to send the Comforter." Why was that? It's because those men, they relied so much on Jesus physically being there, physically needing to be by his side. And you know what happened? They were more bolder. They were witnessing. They were going out. They were being persecuted. They were going out more. They knew scripture like nobody ever knew once they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit came, once Jesus Christ came to indwell in them. We're a New Testament Christian today. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelled in you. So you have God's word. You have God's witness inside of us if you're saved. And if you're not saved today, I encourage you to trust in Jesus Christ simply. Because in this whole chapter, folks, he lays out the plan of salvation. I need to believe that there is one way of salvation. I need to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. I need to believe that he is the Savior that died on the cross. But here's the important part. I can't pay for my sins. I'm going to hell if I don't pay for my sins. They need to be paid. Who can do that? Only Jesus Christ. only Jesus Christ. I need to repent. What does repentance mean? It means I need to change my mind and my attitude towards going towards the world, and I need to turn to God to save me and trust him with my eternal life. It's not praying a vain, repetitious prayer. It's not rolling things or lighting this or doing that or doing this seven times a day. It's none of that. That's all garbage. What the truth is? He says, repent, trust that I can save you from your sins. Faith cometh by hearing, right? And heareth, and hearing coming by the word of God, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I got saved, I didn't know anything about this Bible. But you know what the word of God was preached unto me? It was the gospel. That's the word of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sins. You can walk out of this building today and get hit by a car. Where are you going? Have you ever encountered that? Have you ever actually encountered your humanity and your destiny and all these things? You just assume that you're going to wake up today. You're just going to assume that. But he gives you the very breath in your lungs. He gives you the opportunity to repent. He's long-suffering. Jesus Christ goes to this lowly woman who's down and out. She's in sin. She's in sin. She's living with one guy. She's supposed to be married. She's living in fornication. And you know what Jesus Christ does? He rebukes this sin. He says, no, you're still in sin because I'm holy. You need to change your life around. But also, here's what I can do for you. If you just repent, I can save your soul. And you don't have to, I can save your soul so you don't have to perish in your sins and go to everlasting torment. Verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. She testified, but it came from the word of God. It came from him, and that's the truth. And said unto the woman, now we believe. The town is professing, they're testifying. And said unto the woman, they heard Jesus, they heard the word of the Lord, and guess what? After they heard the word of the Lord, this is what they say. And said unto the woman, now we believe. This Bible is so key to what you're about to read is so crucial because it literally destroys every other religion that requires you need to go to this person, you need to go to that person and whatnot. No, you need to go to Jesus Christ through his word. And that's biblical salvation. Watch. And said unto the woman, now we believe. Not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. We have heard him ourselves and know, not here, we know that this is indeed, ready? The Christ, the Savior of the world. What a profession of faith. See, here's the idea here, folks. We don't believe him because of what you said, but here's the idea. What happened to them? They heard the word of the Lord, but until they came to the personal understanding, we have heard him ourselves. We've heard him ourselves. We've experienced Jesus Christ himself. Now we know that he's the Christ. He's the Savior of the world. Salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It can't be anything else. See, the idea here is that we are to do good and help people. That's great. But why do you do that? Are you placing your faith in that for your soul? Or are you saying, Lord, you saved me because at one point in my life, I went to my knees and I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm living in sin. I've acknowledged that I'm living in sin. He told the woman, you're living in sin. You know what she said? She goes, surely this man's a prophet. She didn't say no. She didn't deny it. She knew. She acknowledged her sin. What she does going forward is a choice that everybody has to make. She either can go away in pride and say, well, who does this guy think he is? And go back into her sin. But you know what she did instead? She said, no, I believe this man. He is the Messiah. He's the Christ. And then not only that, she goes and testifies of that. We're going to see the same thing in John when we see the blind man, when we see the man at the pool of Bethesda. Some action takes place after they get saved and they go and tell people about Jesus Christ. It's so crucial. It's the heart change. I want to go tell people about Jesus Christ. I want to share the good news. We're everybody, the souls are, you guys, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, literally. But then what's the idea here? My profession of faith. If it's confessing Christ. This is who Jesus Christ, this is what he did for me. And that's simply what she's telling all those men. Did she know anything about scripture? Is she talking about doctrine or teaching or all these other things? She goes, no, I'm telling you about the one that knows all that I did. This is what all I did. I'm confessing that I was a sinner. Here's all the sin that I did, but he somehow knows. And we know that now because God's word says it. In countless chapters, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 3, in Corinthians, all this, it's coming to the conclusion to get to the end of yourself and saying, look, this message today is twofold. If you're not saved, you need to get saved as soon as possible. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make. For the people online listening, that's for them, and they need to go to a Bible-believing church and talk to a pastor. For the people here today, I don't know your state, but the idea here is that if you were to walk out today and you assume that you're just going to live the next day, you're sorely mistaken. It doesn't mean you live in fear. You just make sure you reconcile with God. Restore your relationship. Make sure that you are saved. And what is that? Believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believing that he is the Son of God. And believing that he can pay for your sins. When I say believe, I don't mean up here, folks. I mean you are trusting your life after you take your last breath with Jesus Christ. That's it. That is the way of salvation. That's what's in this book in all 66 books of them. And if for the saved person today that have been walking with the Lord for a lot of years or maybe just got recently saved, when I look in the Bible and I see countless evidence of Jesus and seeing what Jesus does, that's a good indication that we should be modeling what Jesus does. And you know what one of those things is? Telling people about him. So this book, a pastor, many pastors have said it before. What does Bible stand for, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth. And I know it sounds like a broken record, and it's corny. And sometimes it could be corny, but it's true. They are instructions before leaving earth because you know what this earth is for the Christian? It is a training ground. It is the holding center before you reach eternity. You're going to one day, I know we can't conceive this right now, because of all the stuff that's happening in the world, one day you are going to stand in the physical presence of Almighty God. Amen. Do you ever seem to think about that? That should make you say amen and, oh, I better get to work too. Because here's the idea, folks. In the last minute, I'm going to take this moment to say this, and it's crucial. Many people get offended by the gospel, the true gospel. They don't get offended with all this other hokey pokey stuff because it's easy. It's an easy way out. I believe in God. You know what? The devil believes in God. The demons believed in God. They said Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They witnessed it. That they do too. They believe in God. But in John 14:6, when Jesus Christ says, I am the way, in red letters, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me. The way of salvation is what people are missing. Paul, the apostle, was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. If one man could, besides Jesus Christ, could follow the law almost to the T, it was Paul when he was Saul. He killed Christians in the name of God. And you know what happened one day? God revealed to him the way of salvation. He says, Jesus Christ himself says, why are you persecuting me, Saul? Why are you persecuting me? Well, Jesus Christ already ascended. No, he was killing Christians. You know what that is? That's the body of Christ. He said, why are you persecuting me? He falls to his knees, folks. He falls to his knees. He's blinded. And what happens that day? Saul gets saved and becomes Paul. And from that day forward, he is living for the Lord. He is telling people about the gospel. Peter, the same thing. Peter denied the Lord three times. Three times he sat with sinners. He heard the cock crow the third time and remembered the Lord's words, and he wept bitterly. You know what that is? Sobbing. He was so heartbroken because he let down his Lord. But in the same couple of days later, Jesus Christ rises. He says, "Feed my sheep, Peter," and he asked him three times. And then at Pentecost, he is boldly preaching the gospel. He is saved. He's telling people about it. What has changed? What has changed? They got saved. They got saved. That's the real salvation, the real fruit. Let's close in prayer.